has just been stolen from the museum. Calling Dick Tracy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your spectral magical host,
WDW Radio,
your information station.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 350 for the week of February 9th, 2014. I'm here to help you have the best possible Disney vacation experience and bring you a little bit of Disney magic wherever you are with this podcast, my videos, blog, live broadcasts, special events, my Walt Disney World trivia books, audio tours, and more. You can find everything over at WDWRadio.com. So this week, I'm going to bring you with me to some place in Walt Disney World you may have never been to before and possibly never even heard of. It's one of the resort's true hidden treasures and is filled with wonderful details, history, and experiences for the entire family. And there's also a little bit of Walt there himself, too. So join me as we explore the secrets, stories, and things to do at the Tri-Circle D Ranch at Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort. I'll then have the answer to our last Walt Disney World trivia question of the week and pose a new challenge for your chance to win a Disney prize package. Also, be sure and tune in to WDWRadioLive.com this Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern as I finally reveal what is 102. I've been secretly working on a project for over a year and have been asking you on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram over the past few months what you think 102 is. Well, I'm finally ready to tell you live during my video broadcast and chat on this week's WDW Radio Live show. Stay tuned to the end of this show, as I'll have some updates and announcements, including information about our next WDW Radio Meet of the Month in Walt Disney World. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. This week, I want to bring you somewhere with me in Walt Disney World that chances are you probably have never been to before. And many of you may not even know that it exists, or if you do, what's there, what to do, and some of its secrets. And as you probably know, Fort Wilderness is one of the three original resorts at Walt Disney World, along with the Contemporary and the Polynesian. This was one of the first places available to guests as part of Walt's Florida project. And with the Chinese New Year celebrating the Year of the Horse, there's no better time to share a little bit about the Tri-Circle D Ranch at Fort Wilderness. So I thought this week I would be joined by a man who looks as good on a horse as he does off of it. He is author, historian, equestrian, and so much more. He is, of course, Jim Corcus, the author of the Vault of Walt series of books, Who's Afraid of the Song of the South? And your latest book, Jim Corcus, is...
The Book of Mouse. Again, people shouldn't forget the Vault of Walt, Volume 2, which has that wonderful foreword by that Disney expert and authority and trivia book author, Lou Mangiello. That's worth the cost of the book just by itself.
It is a love fest in here, Jim. But Jim, you know, you and I, we have known each other for years. We have done a lot. We have discussed even more. We've eaten probably more than we should have. And one of the places that we have never been together, and I think a lot of people have probably not been to, believe it or not, is I think one of those overlooked gems at Walt Disney World. It's the Tri-Circle D Ranch. And I think one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is because not only do I want to talk about what's there and the things to do, but it's got a great history behind it as well.
Absolutely. I'm ready to saddle up and slap leather on the fastest podcast in the East here to open up this this little hidden gem. And you're absolutely right. I think there's so much to do at Disney World, and again, it was designed as a vacation destination. So it wasn't just centered around a theme park. It was centered around there were water activities, there were golfing, and of course the Tri-Circle D ranch. And of course, Tri-Circle refers to the three circles that would make up, you know, the silhouette of Mickey's face. I'm surprised how many people don't catch that immediately. And of course, the D standing for Disney. I've actually had Disney fans tell me, "Oh yes, isn't that the name of the ranch on the Adventures of Spin and Marty on the original Mickey Mouse Club?" And the answer is no, it's not. The ranch on Spin and Marty was actually the Triple R, and I have no idea what the three R's were supposed to be, because I don't think they ever mentioned them in the serial. Maybe they did in the original novel, Marty Markham, that the serial was based on. But nope, the Triple R is Spin and Marty, and the one out here in Florida is the Tri-Circle D Ranch, you know, which is nice. And out at Disneyland, it's the Circle D Corral. Since 1980. Before then, it was called the Pony Farm, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that, and I'm going to be very... I'm always excited. But I'm going to be excited to talk a little bit about that history. But you're absolutely right, Lou. I think the Tri-Circle D Ranch is... It's sometimes awkward to get there, that it just doesn't occur to guests... to get out that way. But you've been out to the Tri-Circle D Ranch a couple of times, haven't you?
I have, and you're right. And the thing about Fort Wilderness is, I think it is maybe sometimes off-putting to people, because like, oh, it's such a pain to get there because you got to park and you got to take a bus. But I think, you know, like driving from Jersey to Disney World, getting there is half the fun, right? Driving through and getting on a bus. One of the things that I like to do, and...
Well, you're opening up the fact that getting away from Jersey at all is fun, whether it's on a bus or not. But yes, I was put off by the fact of, well, you know, it's not on the monorail thing. You know, it's difficult. It's not as difficult to get over there as people think. You know, you can drive over there to the parking lot, or you can take the boat over, for crying out loud. You can take the boat from... Magic Kingdom over if you want, and you're right there in that location.
And that's an attraction.
If you take your car, you've got to take a bus, but there's three buses, and all three of them go up to the Tri-Circle D Ranch.
Yeah, and I think the boat ride, which a lot of people just don't think about, is an attraction. I think you get to see some beautiful parts of Bay Lake getting over there, and sometimes you can go and you can see remnants of old river country. As you're going by, you can see the Sneaker Tree, you can see Discovery Island, you can see some really neat things out there as well, too. There's actually a third way to get out over to Pioneer Hall and the Tri-Circle D Ranch and Hoop-Dee-Doo and all that. And it's one of the things that I like.
Parachuting?
Parachuting.
Well, don't keep us in suspense. What's the third way?
Right. You take your parasail and just cut the cord and hope that you land. No, what you do is you go over to the check-in area, and you can actually rent a golf cart. And this is one of the things I like doing during the holidays. Ah. Yeah, I like doing it during Halloween and during Christmas time. I think it's about $45, $50. I've done it with the box a few times. Actually, live broadcast. I sort of take the camera with me. We drive through because I like riding past the campsites and seeing the holiday decorations and the Halloween decorations. They do an amazing job there. And you can sort of get around on your own. It's fun. Then we go over to the campfire and the movie with Chip and Dale. And it's a nice way to sort of explore the resort on your own. But yeah, I have been out to the ranch and some of the things that are there too, because I think, Jim, when they hear Tri-Circle D Ranch, people say, oh yeah, that's where the horses are stabled, right? Which is true. Mm-hmm. That is where the Belgian horses that pull the trolleys over at the Magic Kingdom are stabled there, but there's a lot more to it. It's not just a place that Disney puts the horses at night. You can actually go and visit. You can see those horses there. You can see the blacksmith shop. There's a petting farm there that for little kids, they've got, you know, goats and I mean, not that you can.
Well, yeah, that's where Minnie Moo used to be before She went to cow heaven.
To greener pastures. She literally went to greener pastures.
She went to that Disney pasture in the sky there. Yeah, carriage rides, pony rides.
Yeah.
Over there, and again, you have to weigh less than 80 pounds, which is roughly what I eat in one meal. So that rides are off the chart for me here, but. But if you have young children, that's a wonderful adventure there. The ponies are all adults. They're not even though they're small. They're all adults, and you can be following in the footsteps of Walt Disney, because Walt Disney taught both of his young daughters how to ride. Diane was telling me that. Yeah, he'd put her on a big old pony and hold the rope and walk around for hours just so that she could get over her initial apprehension of, you know, horses and being on a horse.
Yeah, and the thing that's nice about the pony rides, and this is, Jim, I think so many people, especially that take little kids to Walt Disney World, have no idea. The petting farm and the pony rides is so ideal for the younger kids in mm-hmm. your family or friends, because the petting farm, again, is very small. It's very intimate. The animals are very tame. Again, the goats and things like that. And the pony rides, I think the cost is still maybe like $2. Like maybe it's up to $3 now. I mean, it's very...
I know it's minimal. I'm going to defer to the box people again, because the box people know everything. And I've lived long enough to know never to outguess the box people. The box people know.
And it changes all the time. But I mean, it's probably under $5 to let your kids take a pony ride. It's in a fenced sort of circuit area, so it's very, very safe. And the, you know, the trainers and the handlers there are wonderful. There's also a blacksmith shop, right, which... oftentimes there's not a lot going on, but if you're lucky, you can see them making the horseshoes and affixing them to the horse's hooves. You might get to see them.
Carriage rides. You can get carriage rides. And Lou, I think you were telling me that you've actually been on the trail ride. That's an adventure I've never taken. What's that like?
Yeah. So in terms of things to do there, right, there are carriage rides. There's the horse-drawn carriage rides, which are beautiful, similar to the ones that you would do over in Port Orleans during the holiday times. It is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Take your family, take your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever it may be.
Take both of them. Don't be cheap. It's a Disney vacation. You've already spent a ton of money. Take both of them. But what I've always been curious about the trail ride, because I've seen pictures in the brochure and all of that. And as I said, I've never taken that. Is that a beautiful experience?
Or it's
is that
beautiful. Oh, yeah. So there's, I think you can sort of, I think, again, there's the one in Port Orleans, which is sort of going through the pathways around the Sasagula, and the one at Fort Wilderness really takes you through like the pine and the cypress trees. You sort of forget that you were in Walt Disney World. I think it's really, and you can fit 4 to 5 people in there, like a couple adults, maybe 2-3 kids in there. They cost about $45 or so for about 25 minutes, a half hour. It's a little bit more during the holidays. It's maybe about $60-$65, really, when it's sort of a sleigh ride there. They also have wagon rides, sort of the horse-drawn wagon rides. Those are, I think they leave twice a night, like 6 and 8 or 6 or 8:30 by Pioneer Hall. Those are $45. Those are 45 minutes, but those are only like $8 for guests 10 and mm-hmm. up. And I think $5 for younger. So they're group rides, right? It's more of a bigger wagon ride, probably about 30 guests or so. You could actually rent the whole thing out yourself if you want. They run about, I think, $300. But the thing that I did, Jim, that again, you talked about Walt Disney World being the vacation kingdom of the world, right? That was the tagline mm-hmm. when it opened, was you can go horseback riding. I make the height requirement. I'm way past the weight requirement, but you could actually do full blown horseback riding on trails. So if you are 9 years of age or older, at least 48 inches, I just make that a maximum weight of 250 pounds. You can actually go horseback riding. And whether you are a beginner or even intermediate, it's a beautiful, relaxing way to explore areas of Fort Wilderness that you cannot get through otherwise. You go through the woodland areas.
Now, do you have a guide going along with you?
You do. You sort of go in a sort of a convoy with a guide in the front and the guide in the back. And there's all kinds of animals. I remember seeing deers and ducks and rabbits and armadillos. Very nice, very relaxing. They leave throughout.
And they're all audio animatronics, right?
No, it is a beautiful, I'm telling you, it lets you sort of forget kind of where you are. You forget that the Magic Kingdom is literally within earshot away. A couple of things to note. You can't sort of carry anything with you. You can carry a small camera, but no backpacks and things like that. So you can hide those. You can put those in storage lockers. And these leave at like 8:30, 10, 11:31, and I think 2:30 throughout the day. Very, very inexpensive. I think it, again, is maybe $40-$45 or so. Again, those prices can change. And my only bit of advice, Jim Cork, is if you can avoid it, try not to go in the middle of summer because it gets a little hot.
Okay, now you've got my curiosity piqued. Why should I not get on a horse at Walt Disney World in the summer?
Listen, you shouldn't be outside in Florida in the middle of the summer if you can avoid it.
Well, that's certainly true. Yes.
Yeah. The day I happened to go was very warm. It was very humid. So dress accordingly, be prepared. There are going to be some areas where it isn't going to be shaded, but there are some beautiful areas in there as well, too, that you don't get to explore otherwise. Really, really nice thing to do. Again, if you want to sort of plus up your trip with your family, your son, your mom, your friend, whatever it may be, a bunch of guys, bunch of girls, horseback riding is, I think, something, Jim, that's so far off the radar for people, because you don't sort of associate Walt. Same thing like with bass fishing. People are like, wait, you can fish in Walt? Yeah, you can fish. You can do horseback riding. This is one of those cool things.
Actually, there's early morning fishing trips where they'll take you around to all of these areas to fish. My brothers have been on that, and it's a catch and release type of thing. But it's amazing. It's like all of Disney World just belongs to you at that moment, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing else there. Now the trail ride's what, about 45 minutes?
About 45 minutes. Again, you're not, look, if you're going to try and gallop like, the closing scenes of Indiana Jones, you're not going to be doing that, right? It's very tame. You walk single file. So if you are an advanced rider and want to sort of take the reins and run off on your own on a blazing steed down I-4, it's not going to happen. But
that's not for you. Well, even though I can't take anything with me, I can dress up in my cowboy outfit, right? I can have my holster and my no gun though. No gun.
You can dress up like Sheriff Woody.
And cowboy hat and all of that. Yeah,
that would be your thing. It is a lot of fun.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of Walt and horses, and then we'll circle back on these cayuses back to the Tri-Circle D Ranch, and we'll talk about some of the hidden treasures over there that, again, absolutely free to see and enjoy over there,
And I think people might not know. They know about Walt and his love of trains, but they don't really know about Walt and his love of horses. So there is a direct connection to Walt, and obviously you'll talk about the places here that you can see it. But in terms of history, Walt he loved horses as well too.
He loved horses so much he would marry one if he could. That's how much he loved horses.
You didn't just call Lillian a horse.
Well, you know why the pony couldn't talk, right? He was a little horse.
Oy.
So anyway. Yeah, all right. Yeah, oh my gosh. We just have way too much fun here. And people are just listening in while that's going on. Yeah, I think people immediately recognize that Walt, loved trains. And I think people even suspect that Walt really loved dogs, which he did, ever since he was a little boy. But equally, He had this great love of horses. You know, in fact, growing up on that farm in Marceline, Missouri, that was his first, you know, interaction with horses on there, and fell in love with that. And of course, the iconic story was when he was 7 years old in Marceline, one of his best adult friends was Doc Sherwood, who had retired from practicing medicine, so he was able to spend a lot of time with Walt and tell stories and all that. And Doc Sherwood had this magnificent Morgan horse called Rupert. And so in order to encourage Walt in his drawings, you know, it told Walt to come over one day and bring his crayons and his big sheet tablet, and Doc Sherwood was going to give him a nickel to draw a picture of Rupert. And so this little seven-year-old kid, you know, starts drawing, but Rupert was in one of his moods that day, very skittish, and so he was constantly moving around. So, you know, and Walt was not a quick sketch artist, so, you know, he starts to draw the horse from one angle, and Rupert, you know, it turns around in a different direction, so he tries to start again, and all of this. And Walt pretty much described the final result as a mess, but Doc Sherwood, you know, praised it, gave him a nickel, and so that's the very first money Walt ever earned for drawing something. And over and above that, Sherwood actually framed the drawing and hung the picture in his living room. And so, you know, think of the encouragement of a young artist at that point, you know, for that to happen. And even as an adult, Walt continued this great love of horses. You know, he had his own stable of polo ponies. June, Slim, Nava, Arrow, Partner, Tacky, and Tommy. Boy, I really need to get a girlfriend or a life that I can remember that. And for those of you who can't remember that, that's in one of the chapters of the revised Vault of Walt, where I talk about Walt's love of polo. And again, I told you that he taught his daughters how to ride, and so, you know, he'd have a saddle up on a sawhorse at home. But one of the things that most people don't realize is that in 1938, Walt was a member of the Rancheros Vistadores.
Of course.
I know you're asking the same question that Lou's asking right now. What the heck is the Rancheros Vistadores?
Isn't that, it's like a chalupa. It's the same thing as a chimichanga?
A churro. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It's on the Taco Bell, maybe.
It's Spanish for, well, I know that you wouldn't know because neither you and I would ever be invited to be a member of this group. Rancheros Vistadores is Spanish for the visiting ranchers. And it was a group that was started in the 1930s. 1930, in fact, I think exactly, for business professionals, for, you know, the high and mighty type people, you know, and for 1 week, they would go on a horseback ride in the outdoors of the Santa Ynez Valley around the Santa Barbara area. So they'd be out for a week, you know, camping under the stars, you know, that type of, with their servants, of course. And members of the group were, as I said, the high and mighty type people like Ronald Reagan, Clark Gable, Art Linkletter, Gene Autry, P.K. Wrigley of chewing gum fame was a member, and Bob Hope. And so it was sort of a boys' week out type thing. But you had to have an interest in and ownership of horses. And, you know, a lot of high and mighty people, the group still exists today. And Walt rode his own horse. And would you like to make a guess about what his horse's name was, the horse that he rode when he rode with the Rancheros Vistadores?
It's Bullseye.
Disney character.
Bullseye.
Hmm?
Trigger.
Minnie Mouse.
Of course. That was my third guess.
Well, you know, and the other thing we tend to forget, too, is think of all the memorable horse characters in both the animated and live-action films. So you may want to have people do this in the comment section of what is their favorite Disney horse, either animated or live action. Maybe it's Samson from Sleeping Beauty, or Maximus from Tangled, or Cyril Proudbottom.
Widowmaker.
Yes, Mr. Toad. And or one of my favorites was the black horse in Zorro, Tornado. That Zorro rode. Believe it or not, Walt personally owned that horse. And so when the Zorro television series ended, he made arrangements for that horse to spend out the rest of his life peacefully at the Golden Oak Ranch out there in California.
Hmm.
And Horace Horse Collar. How could I forget that?
You know, you're Listen, you need to embrace the fact that Buttercup from Toy Story is your favorite. It's okay. You've got your big butter. I've been to your house. I've seen your Buttercup plush on your bed. It's cool.
Well, see, I think this is a heated topic that should be covered in the comments section of because again, how many horses do we forget?
Favorite Disney horse, Khan.
From
what about Khan? Khan from Mulan.
What about Khan?
William Shatner.
Khan is the name of course, the name of Mulan's horse, but is also the name of the horse that is the Headless Horseman's horse now at Walt Disney World. Khan is half Percheron and half Thoroughbred, and there used to be another horse named Ike, who used to be the Headless Horseman's horse, but he was adopted out to a family in Texas. We can talk about, yes, you can adopt one of the Disney horses. There's a long waiting list, like getting into Club 33, but you can. But yeah, Khan is the Headless Horseman's horse now, but believe it or not, they don't use him to pull a carriage for the carriage rides because he thinks he's being chased. They discovered that when they said, oh, well, this is wonderful. What a beautiful horse and all of this. And then we can also have him do double duty here doing the carriage rides. When they had him out there doing that, he thought he was being chased by the carriage.
Hmm.
Every horse out there has its own personality, and at the Tricircle D Ranch, in the horse barn that they have, all the horses have name tags, right. Like Disney name tags, but they're huge and they have their name on them. And so it's there. So when you go out to visit, you can see that. And if you talk with the cast members there, they'll be more than happy to tell you about, the different personalities of each of these horses, because when they get a horse for the Tri-Circle D Ranch, it's always on probation because they have to see how the horse interacts with other horses, how the horse is going to deal with crowds and noise and things like that. And so there's that probation period. So when Disney buys a horse, it isn't like, well, I bought the horse, goodbye. They bought the horse, but only on probation there until they see, is this a horse that's going to fit into a Disney theme park atmosphere?
They actually
it's a lot rougher than you would think.
Yeah, and they actually just added, as we're recording this, within the last few weeks, two new Clydesdales to the ranch family, Gates and Rookie. They're small horses. They're only about 1,800 pounds each. So,
they didn't used to have Clydesdales. I asked, about that. And, there's the official Disney reason and the unofficial Disney reason. The official Disney reason was they felt that Clydesdales sometimes have temperament issues, as opposed to a Percheron or a Belgian. Belgians are the brown, the sort of reddish-brown, so if you think B and brown, Belgians. Percherons are the black horses, and they're considered draft horses. Clydesdales are as well. And as I said, the official reason was there was temperament and also the fact that Clydesdales are proportionately larger in size than a Percheron or a Belgian. But the unofficial fact was that Clydesdales were associated with Anheuser-Busch, you know, Budweiser. And they were being showcased at competing entertainment venues out here, like Busch Gardens. Mm-hmm. And they had some out at SeaWorld. But now that InBev sold off its amusement parks in 2009, there's no longer that Clydesdale connection. I think they still have some Clydesdales, but they're not the official Budweiser Clydesdales
right.
anymore.
And they also, I think they also have, and again, it changes all the time, but I think they also have Appaloosas, Arabians, again, the Belgians, mm-hmm. the Clydesdales, Percherons, Quarter Horses.
Yeah,
and
the manager of the Tri-Circle D Ranch, who also is in charge of the ones at Disneyland and Disneyland Paris, so there's a level of consistency now, really wanted to see, you know, a diversity in the type of horses that were out there, and in particular loved Clydesdales. You know, I had one cast member tell me, no, Clydesdales are so powerful, they just pull the trolley off the tracks. And no, that didn't happen. but they are big horses, as you said, 1,800 pounds. They can get up to 2,000 pounds and more.
Yeah, when you, you know, what's nice too is when you go out to the ranch, you might see them just sort of not sort of in their, you know, they're sort of in the fenced in stable area, but you can get up close to them and you can go over to them. And I mean, they're huge. And I mean, they're beautiful, but incredibly huge animals. You don't realize it as you're watching the trolley go by, but when you get up to them and see how big and how muscular and just massive these animals are, I mean, they are beautiful.
Yeah. Well, on average, they're about 18 hands tall. So that's roughly 72 inches. And a hand, as it was explained to me, is a hand is about 4 inches. It was based on the breadth of a human hand as a measure. So you would, you know, because I guess you don't bring your tape measure out when you have horses and, you know, you're under attack and all that. Well, let's see. How tall is this horse? Well, let's get, you know. But yeah, they're about 18 hands tall, and that I'm a big guy, and those horses are intimidating.
They are, but they're all
friendly and they're all lovable,
so docile. Yeah,
but just the huge size. So again, if you have children and you're taking them out there, you know, be sensitive that the child, just as when the child first sees a 5-foot-tall mouse, you know, they may be a little taken aback that these. So start them out with the ponies, and then go over, to that. Yeah, and you're right. The number of horses there are constantly changing. It's usually between 80 to 90 horses out there, and I believe they have a staff of about 30. Or so out there, and they're all covered by animal programs, mm-hmm. you know, so it's AZA accredited. It's the same group that's taking care of animals at Disney Animal Kingdom and Living Seas with Nemo and Friends.
Right.
So these are well taken care of horses, you know.
And all the cast members there, too, are not only are they very knowledgeable, but they will spend time with you answering your questions and telling you about the horses and really sort of educating you. And when I went with my kids once, they loved being able to talk and interact with them and learn more, you know, and ask and have their questions answered.
They are hugely knowledgeable, and their love and passion for the animals come across, you know. I'm just amazed and in awe of them taking care of this. And again, all of this started way back with Disneyland, 1955. You know, we're so used to wanting to take a look at the windows on the a second story and try and guess who those names are and what they had involved. There's windows other places. So on that car barn in Town Square on Main Street between the firehouse and the barber shop, there's a window on the side of the car barn, and it says Owen Pope Harness Maker. And I'm sure that, you know, 99% or more of the people who visit have no clue who Owen Pope is. Basically, in March of 1951, Walt met with Owen and his wife Dolly to ask if they would be interested in beginning training horses for Disneyland. And you had to start that early. Disneyland didn't open until 55. This is March 51. You had to start that early because you had to adjust horses to the crowds, to the sounds, the loud sounds, and all that happened. So, in Thanksgiving, actually a week after Thanksgiving in 51, Pope and Dolly moved their trailer onto the Disney Studio lot. So they became the first and only people to ever live at the Disney Studio in Burbank. They built stalls for 10 stalls for horses there so that they could train them right there at the studio. Walt would come down every day to see how the training was being done. They did this for about 2.5 years, you know. And while this was going on, you know, there was the construction of Disneyland. And there were a lot of houses on the Disneyland property. Some people know the Dominguez house, which later became used for administration. The Popes went and picked out a house, and that house was moved to a 10-acre location right behind Fantasyland. It still exists today. It's right behind Big Thunder Ranch there. And that area was dubbed the Pony Farm. And then in 1980 became the Circle D Corral. But the Popes moved into that house 3 days before the opening of Disneyland, and they lived there at Disneyland. So they were the first and only people who actually lived in Disneyland, backstage there. And in fact, the dog that was the live-action reference model for Tramp and Lady and the Tramp, he was actually rescued from a pound. He lived out his life with the Popes backstage there.
And we did the real quick. We did the and this is the only reason why I know it. We did the Adventures by Disney tour a couple of years ago. We did a WW Radio group, and one of the places that they take you, somewhat of a spoiler alert, is to the house. You're right. The house is there, and it is a home. Like, it is still sort of decorated inside as if it was these people's homes.
And I didn't know that that was part of the Adventures by Disney tour. That's another good reason to take that tour. I think they use it for administration now for Big Thunder Ranch there. But it was in that house that Owen Pope was hand making harnesses and riggings for the horses that would work at Walt Disney World. So that's why the window says Owen Pope Harness Maker. It wasn't just because, well, we want something horsey sounding for Owen Pope. He was actually making the harnesses and the riggings for the horses in that house. The Popes got relocated out to Florida January 71. And they were the ones, and see, this brings us back on our writing trail, back to the Tri-Circle D Ranch. They supervised, the creation and the design of the Tri-Circle D Ranch there. Now, the Popes retired in 1975, but they continued to visit the Tri-Circle Ranch at least once a year until they passed away. Dolly retired in September 75, which made her the very first Walt Disney World cast member to ever retire. And Owen retired the following month in October. He passed away in 2000 at the age of 96, and Dolly passed away, 2003. And she was a little younger. She was 89. But I've talked to the cast that worked there, and they said, yeah, they loved having Owen and Dolly come by and visit, and that even after Owen passed away, Dolly would still come and talk to them and, you know, love the horses and the whole, and what a wonderful, heartwarming Disney story that is, right?
So,
but go ahead.
I was going to say, to use a quirkicism, circling back to the Tri-Circle D Ranch now, I think the beauty of this place and the hidden gem is one of those things that's hiding in plain sight, because I think you look at the ranch from the outside and you walk by and you see the horses outside the barn. What you don't realize is that you can go inside and there are two unique items slash not so secret room in there that brings us back to that connection of Walt Disney and his love of horses. And, you know, we talk about places like One Man's Dream and all these tributes to Walt Disney. Mm-hmm. This is the, you know, the undiscovered, this is sort of like the holy grail of Waltism in terms of pictures and personal connections to something that Walt really, really loved. And obviously the other thing too, we'll get to what I think is the coolest thing that's there, something that's absolutely beautiful to look at and to listen to. But let's talk first.
And it just came back the end of January. It was out for repairs for a couple of months because they had pulled it out as part of limited time magic,
right?
For the Magic Kingdom. And while it was out and operating, they found that it needed some repairs, so it was out for repairs. And so that area was empty for most of December and January, but it came back the last week of January. Gosh darn it.
Well, let's just tell them what it is. Let's tell them about the dragon calliope, because the...
Let's talk first about the small room museum, right? Room museum called Walt Disney's Horses. And again, you can go out, you can take photos, all of this. I would advise... be careful if you're going on a Thursday. And the only reason I advise being careful about going on a Thursday, because that is when the veterinarian comes in to examine the horses. And so sometimes they will close doors, just as you would at a doctor's office, right? But you would close doors for them to examine the horse because, again, sometimes people who are not familiar with horses will misinterpret certain things, like for instance, if the horse is drooling, you think, oh my gosh, he really needs some water. No, if you have a well lubricated bit in his mouth, that actually activates the drool, so he's not uncomfortable at all. It's just a very natural thing. But sometimes on a Thursday, they'll close those doors into the barn for a short period of time, so the veterinarian can make sure that the horses are healthy there. But yes, there's a little small room museum, and it's called Walt Disney Horses. And if you're very clever, look over to your right, because there's a little stack of flyers that talk about the Tri-Circle D Ranch, and those are free. You can get that. You can get one for your friend and mail it, back east to rub their nose in the fact that you're in the Florida sun and they're in the snow. But this is a tribute to Walt's love of horses, and there's a black and white drawing, an original one, on one of the walls that shows a young Walt Disney sketching Doc Sherwood's horse, Rupert. And that same wall is decorated with black and white photos of Walt and horses. So he's on top of the Disneyland stagecoach. He's riding one of his polo ponies. And then the other two walls are covered with photos of the horses at Walt Disney World over the years at a variety of events and parades. And in a glass enclosure is one of the original 1971 harnesses. And you can tell it's the 1971 harness because it's got the World Mickey logo on it, so you have that world with the longitude and latitude lines, and you have the two ears. That's the original one, and so that's one of the ones that Owen Pope made himself. And there's also a display of models of horses mm-hmm. that now work at Walt Disney World, the different varieties and a little description so you can get more familiar with that. And then there is a scale model of something that Lou has been chomping at the bit to talk about, and it is the dragon calliope. Tell me about this dragon calliope. Here's the scale model. But boy, scale models, they're just so small nowadays.
Yeah, it's, you know, and the first time I went, Jim, it was sort of an accidental find for me. Like, I didn't know that this mm-hmm. room existed. And then across the way, inside this barn, is this ginormous, intricately carved, blue and white dragon calliope, this sort of horse-drawn musical instrument that mm-hmm. is not a, you know, like so many things that were created for Walt Disney World. It was not built at Central Shops. This was something that Walt purchased back, correct me if I'm wrong, the Bradley and Kay Amusement Park back in the 1950s?
Right. He purchased it because he wanted to use it in the Mickey Mouse Club circus parade at Disneyland in 55 there. Yes. But yeah, Bradley and Kay, that was a small amusement park out there in Los Angeles, and that's one of those amusement parks where Walt would take his young daughters out on Sunday outings, and yeah, they were just being used as decorations out in the front entrance of the park there.
And the thing that I didn't realize is that it, you know, you said it was just refurbished, but it actually it's still a working calliope, and I believe that they still have the button where you can hit it and hear the calliope play.
yes, you can. So this was, as you said, an authentic 1907 20 whistle steam calliope, and it's an 8-hitch, which means usually 8. Percherons would pull it. Sometimes they'd cut back to 6 of them. Walt bought it for $50,000 back in 1955 money. So that money meant really something now. He bought some other circus wagons, and they pulled off parts of some of the circus wagons while they were doing rehab, but Walt was smart enough to hold on to all of them. So when he donated all the rest of the wagons to the Baraboo Circus Museum in Wisconsin, he was able to send all of this trimming that had been pulled off. Well, some of the trimming that had been pulled off, he used to decorate the dragon calliope with. And in fact, I don't know when the last time you were over at Disneyland, but take a look at Disneyland's Casey Jr. train. Right behind the engine, they have that little calliope. They have the exact same dragon that is on the dragon calliope. And the calliope appeared in,
Toby Tyler?
Toby Tyler. Yeah. With Kevin Corcoran. Kevin Corcoran. And so you can see it operating there, and by golly, you know, it was just, of course, the Mickey Mouse Club circus parade went belly up just within a couple of weeks. In 62, as I said, Walt donated most of the circus wagons to the Circus World Museum in Baraboo, Wisconsin, but he kept the calliope, and the calliope appeared in Disneyland parades until the park's 25th anniversary in 1980, at which point it was repainted that white and silver and blue that you see, and it was shipped out to Florida for the 1981 Walt Disney World 10-cennial parade. Hmm. And, you know, you would see it in the Christmas broadcast and all that. They had to readjust the volume of sound from the pipes because it was so strong it was shattering windows. So it's been pulled out for a couple of events outside of Disney. Somebody told me it was in the Citrus Parade once and all that. But this last year, 2013, it was pulled out as part of the limited time Magic promotion by golly, and I wish I had known, because I would have, Walt Disney World's just down the street. I could have gone down there and seen it in action, but I didn't know about it until after the fact. And during that process, they found some mechanical issues that just needed to be readdressed. And so that enclosure over there was empty for a long while, although sometimes they'd pull over the stagecoach that used to be in front of Pioneer Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like the Calliope, nothing. And you're right. The button is still there. I haven't been there since its return, but I've been told that yes, the button still works. So you know you can go over there, play that, and you can hear what that thing sounds like, and it's all authentic, 1907. And what a hidden treasure for people.
Yeah.
What a service, Lou Mangiello, you are doing for all of your listeners. To let them know about this this free, wonderful experience at Fort Wilderness there.
And you're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's worth the trip. It's worth the trip to go there just to see it, even if you see it just once, you know?
Yeah, and you know, one of the operative words there is free, right? It is something free to do. You could take the whole family. You do not need to be staying at the campgrounds in order to visit this place, right? So if you want that change of pace, you want to get out of the parks for a while, you want to do something different, you want to have a nice experience. Look, I think going to Fort Wilderness is one of those things you could do sort of at a half-day trip, right? You go to the parks mm-hmm. maybe in the morning, you go back, you take a nap, you head on over to the campgrounds, whether you take the boat, the bus service, whatever it may be, you go and check out the blacksmith shop and the petting farm and the pony rides, do a horseback ride or a wagon ride, go over, check out what they call the happiest horses on earth, the Walt Room, the Dragon Calliope, and then at night, go either to Trail's End, you go to Crockett's Tavern, you go to Hoop-Dee-Doo, you can go see the electrical water pageant, you can go see the movie over at the, you know, with the campfire with Chip and Dale mm-hmm. and roast schmoes or s'mores. You know,
s'mores. It's s'mores because you want s'more of
s'mores.
Them.
That was my bad Toy Story reference. But that look, it's a great day at little or no cost other than food and refreshments and things like that. And it's so off the beaten path. It is such a nice way to spend it. And who knows, you might even be inclined to say, hey, you know what? On a future trip, why don't we do something different? Let's get a campsite. Let's get a cabin. Let's stay at Fort Wilderness. Right? See why people call that place home literally for months at a time, because there's so much to do there. There's so many great activities there that are outside the park, often at little cost. It's a great way to explore a very, very hidden treasure at Walt Disney World, like you, Jim Corcus.
What a great salesman you are.
You are a hidden...
They should have you out there giving this spiel out in the front there. I will say, my brother rented a cabin for him and his son, and I went and visited them, and my gosh, those cabins are just absolutely beautiful because you get a sense of wilderness and a sense of isolation, but with all those top quality amenities that you would get yeah. in any Disney resort hotel room, you know. So and again, I still wish they had the Fort Wilderness Railroad over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can go hiking around and you can see little remnants of it here and there. If you know where to look, you might find a little piece of track here and there. But and you're right.
Do your research before you go.
Yeah.
But
Jim, I say it. I'm enthusiastic about it. Look, I get nothing for saying this, right? I'm not paid to say this by Disney. I say it because when I went there for the first time and I went back again with my family, I was enthralled, right? I was enthralled as a Disney enthusiast, as a history buff, the connection to Walt and the Calliope. I said, my God, I didn't know these things were here. And then I took my family and my kids were like, wait, we can go and ride the ponies? And I went horseback riding and they're like, wait a minute, this Hoop-Dee-Doo thing is awesome. And the campground, you know, there was one thing after another that we started to really fall in love with. And I think it's so overlooked. And I want nothing more than to try and make people's vacations better. And if you've never been there before, there's a ton of stuff to do, whether you go alone, with your friends, with your family, with another hidden treasure like Jim Corcus. Like, listen.
And there are penny press machines up there.
Yeah, I
think you should do a whole show on penny presses, and now there's these quarter presses too.
We did a penny press show. Yeah, we did a penny press show. A couple years ago. I'll have to link to it, or you can just search the site for it.
Penny presses have changed since then, buddy.
Uh oh.
The world goes on. The world moves on.
They're not pennies.
Is no longer on The Tonight Show. I hate to break this to you, but the world changes.
Wait, Carson's not on The Tonight Show?
Just because something happened at Disney, a couple of years ago doesn't mean that it still exists that way today. But it's a wonderful area to just hang out in because it's so quiet. There are tables out there, as Lou said, go grab a bite to eat. I'm still surprised at the number of people who don't know that the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review exists out there.
Trails End, best value on property.
But again, I'm disappointed. They don't have the buffet for lunch anymore. They only have the buffet for dinner. But I will tell you that their luncheon menu, where you're just ordering off the menu, really good.
Yeah. And Crockett's Tavern at night?
Just as most food is on Disney property, really good. Really, really good.
You can still see a Gully Wumper, albeit a smaller one. If you're a Davy Crockett fan, there's some cool Davy Crockett memorabilia. Rest in peace, the Mike Fink keelboats. But there's a lot. Listen, and there's also there's a playground out there for the kids. I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff to do there. So...
Yeah, but don't forget the horses. The star for me are those horses. And again, those are the horses, just in case we didn't make it clear. Those are the horses that pull the horse-drawn trolleys on Main Street.
Right.
And there used to be four of them. In 1971, there were four horse-drawn trolleys working that street. Now there's only one. And the horses start at 9 o'clock there, and then by about... 1 o'clock or so, after the second Main Street trolley show, the horses then, come back. Imagine working 4 hours a day. That's it, max, And it's just, to me, it's just, they're just beautiful. They're just amazing. Here's a fun fact. Here's a fun fact, as if we haven't given enough fun facts. When the Disney cruise started, with the Disney Magic back there in, 98, mm-hmm. something like that, there was discussion of having horses on Castaway Cay for trail rides. And it was finally decided, though, that... would they be able to give them, the same amount of care as they have on land? And would it become an issue if the horses need to be evacuated from the island for whatever reason, when those hurricanes hit a couple of years ago? Because horses can swim, but they're not going to be able to swim for great distances.
Right.
So, that could have been another wonderful horse experience over there. You don't need magic bands. You don't need fast passes. You just need a sense of wonder. And as I said, if you don't want to drive over, you don't have access to a car or whatever, take the boat. And as Lou said, the boat itself is an adventure. You really do take a look at Walt Disney World through a different set of eyes.
Absolutely. And as we speak of hidden treasures and things that are beautiful and huggable and lovable, you fit into that category as well, Jim Korkus. You have The Vault of Walt Revised Volume 1, Walt of Walt Volume 2, Who's Afraid of Song of the South, and I've got a mental block again to get the name of your Mickey book. It is...
The Book of Mouse.
It couldn't be any...
And I've been fortunate that it's gotten some really strong reviews. A lot of people, go, well, I know everything there is about Mickey Mouse. I don't need that. And then they take a look at that. And I will tell you...
It's the Mickey Bible.
Right now,
it is the Mickey Bible.
I am in the process. I just took a break to talk with Lou. I am in the process of writing another Disney book, a Disney book that is Walt-centric, but has never been written by anyone else before. Period.
Oh, I like the tease. I like the tease.
Yes. Well, again, when I was out in L.A., I talked with Ray Bradbury when I was younger, and Ray Bradbury always said, Jim, don't talk about the book that you're writing because people will just bother you. How's the book coming along? When is the book coming out? When is that third Walt Disney World trivia guy coming out? So you don't tell people. You just tell people you're working on a book. You don't tell them what book it is you're working on.
Absolutely. And listen, I will put links.
Thanks for being a great friend. I'm sorry I miss seeing you up on a trail ride horse. It must have been as inspiring as John Wayne or Gary Cooper or Clint Eastwood, you know. I don't think kids know cowboys nowadays.
No, they don't.
I grew up wanting to be a cowboy. My heroes were cowboys. Roy Rogers was a big
hero. Yeah, I remember Roy Rogers. Listen, I'm sure one or two people saw the new Lone Ranger, but I remember the old Lone Ranger and Roy Rogers. And when you talked about the Triple R before – over at Disneyland, the first thing I thought of, this is going to show how old I am, is there anybody who's listening who remembers Roy Rogers used to have a restaurant, a fast food restaurant, and they had the Double R Bar Burger, and that's what you reminded me of, was Roy Rogers on Terrell Road in Plainfield, New Jersey. I haven't thought of that in 35 years. So.
Well, Roy Rogers had a museum, and I went and I visited Roy Rogers at his museum, and my heart broke. He took a picture with me, which was great. But he only comes up to my shoulder. I keep forgetting that actors are so petite, you know?
Listen, we don't like to...
Here's the guy who would shoot guns out of other people's hands and had Trigger, the smartest horse in the West, and Bullet, the Wonder Dog, and Dale Evans, and all the Queen of the Wild West. And...
Listen,
I was taller than Roy Rogers.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You should never be bigger than your hero.
Listen, I get a lot of.
You're right. It's come the time where we've got to say happy trails to you.
Wait a second. I need to defend
people and all the other folks.
I get a lot of grief for how tall I am, but Roy Rogers was short. Al Pacino was short. Iron Man is 5'6.5". I could have been Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr., not a tall guy, but we're like Tiffany boxes,
well,
Jim.
Downey's Downey's contract has run out. They're looking for it. And anybody who can fit into that armor.
I can fit into
the
suit.
That's it. Lou Iron Man Mangiello.
Well, listen, I don't have
the... And now that you've lost all that weight, my gosh, you'll just slide into that thing.
No, listen.
And the Black Widow will be right next to you, boy, hanging on your arm there.
I don't have the charm or charisma or good looks of a Robert Downey Jr., an Al Pacino, or a Jim Corcus. But listen, you wrote a bunch of books. I'm going to link to them all in the show notes this week. Jim, this is always so much fun. I love doing this with you. We are going to go out to eat over at Trail's End one of these nights and maybe hit a little hoop-de-doo one night as well, too. And I know you're going to come back. We got a lot of great other things that we want to talk about soon. So I won't make an obscure yet very old goodbye salutation with a Roy Rogers or anything else like that quote that nobody listening would understand.
And all of you listening, go to www.themeparkpress.com. That's the publisher that publishes my books and a lot of other really great Disney books. They've started a weekly blog. So little bits of Disney history and all of that over there. So that's another site to add to your address book there.
Nice.
Lou, thank you so much. Looking forward to the next time we get together, and can hardly wait what we're going to be talking about. But this was a lot of fun, and I hope some people discover Tri-Circle D Ranch because of us.
Happy trails, my friend.
Happy trails.
I almost started singing happy trails to you until we meet again. But again. Time for our Walt Disney World trivia question of the week, where I ask you to test your knowledge of Walt Disney World history, see how well you pay attention to the details in what you see and maybe even in what you hear for a chance to win a Disney prize package. Before we get to this week's question, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week, I was talking to you about Sir Mickey's, the merchandise shop over in Fantasyland, and I told you that it was inspired by two classic Disney cartoons. One of them was the 1947 Mickey and the Beanstalk, and I asked you to tell me what the other Mickey Mouse cartoon short was. Again, thanks to the hundreds of you who answered this one, all of you got it correct, because it was, of course, the 1938 film, The Brave Little Tailor. This is actually one of my personal favorite merchandise shops in all of Walt Disney World because it's rich in history, because of the details that are in here as well. Obviously, Mickey and the Beanstalk from 1947 was the last cartoon in which Walt Disney performed the voice of Mickey Mouse. But if you look around this shop, there are details everywhere, from Willie the Giant peering over the roof and the vines overgrown through the rafters. There's props all over the shelves and on the walls. Outside, the windows are filled with all kinds of great little vignettes. There's Donald and his nephews preparing to sort of don their armor and face the giant. There's also a sign from Mickey letting you know that he's out giant hunting. There's Maid Daisy Duck, Princess Minnie. Lots of clever details abound in this store, both inside and out. Love the detail. Love the story here. Love the fact that so many of you guys got this one correct. Again, I took all of the correct entries, randomly selected one, and our winner this week is going to get all six of my audio walking tours of the Magic Kingdom. Those are available over at wdwradio.com in the shop. Also, a luggage tag, a button, and a signed copy of my Walt Disney World Trivia Book Volume 2. And this week's winner is Lane Avalos. So, Lane, congratulations. Get me your mailing information. I'll get your package out to you right away. If you played this list this week and didn't win, thanks for playing, but don't worry. Here's your next chance in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So this week, we're talking all about horses over at the Tri-Circle D Ranch, and I ask you to comment in the show notes on our Facebook page or on Twitter what your favorite Disney horse is, right? I assume most likely it's from an animated movie, but who knows? It could be from live action. It could be a horse in the park. But this week, for the question, I want to talk to you more about horses in Walt Disney World. We know about the horses at the ranch, the horses on Cinderella's, or should I say Prince Charming's, Regal Carousel, Widowmaker over at Pecos Bill's Tall Tale Inn and Cafe, but there's lots of other horses and references to horses around property as well. Now, a lot of times when you think about horses, you can often find them in carousels or merry-go-rounds. And I know of at least two other carousels in Walt Disney World. So your challenge this week is to pick two, any two, and tell me where they are or what their names are. Pick at least two other carousels other than Prince Charming Regal Carousel and tell me the location or the name of at least two other carousels or merry-go-rounds in Walt Disney World. You have until Sunday, February 16th at 11:59 p.m. to send your answer to contest at wdwradio.com. Again, I'll give you the prize package with all the audio tours, luggage tag, button, a Walt Disney World Trivia Book Volume 2, and a surprise Vinylmation just for fun. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks so much for taking the time and tuning in this and every week. Don't forget to, in addition to subscribing to the podcast and iTunes, visit the website at wdwradio.com for our multiple daily blog posts, contests, new videos, free newsletter, free app for your iPhone, Android, or Windows mobile device. Also visit the events page for upcoming events in Walt Disney World and around the country, including our cruise on the Disney Dream and e-ticket event this summer. Speaking of events, our next meet of the month is going to be in Walt Disney World, Saturday, February 22nd. It's over Princess Marathon weekend, long after the half marathon on Saturday is over. It's going to be at 1 o'clock over in World Showcase in Epcot. We're going to meet at the UK Pavilion. There's a seating area to the right of the Yorkshire County Fish and Chip Stand. There's umbrella tables up there by the water. Great place to hang out, grab a bite to eat. Come make and meet some new friends. Bring the entire family. Everybody is welcome. For more information, visit the events page over at wdwradio.com or the events page over on Facebook at facebook.com/wdwradio. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. I am at Lou Mangiello. Same thing for Instagram and Pinterest. Instagram and Pinterest.com/Lou Mangiello. And if you want to be heard on the air, call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. That's 407-900-WDW1 with a question, a comment, or just a hello from the parks. And if you have a question you want answered on the show, you can email me at lou@wdwradio.com. Thanks, as always, to my partners and sponsors, including MouseFan Travel. They are my official and recommended travel provider, whether you're coming to World, Land, Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, anywhere on the planet. And Becky and her team of agents can help you get the best possible prices, all available discounts at no additional cost to you. Visit them over at mousefantravel.com. And as always, my friends, and you are my friends, whether we have met yet or not, all I ask is that if you like the show, please help spread the word. Let your friends know about it, right? Tweet out that you're listening, share links, and come by and comment over on Facebook. And please review the show and the app over on iTunes. It's very, very helpful, very much appreciated. And finally, and most importantly, my biggest thanks goes out to you for letting me share my love of Disney with you in so many different ways. Don't forget to tune in Wednesday, 7:30 Eastern, over at WDW Radio Live. I'm very excited to finally reveal what 102 is. And again, I want you to follow your heart and follow your passion. Focus on what makes you happy and do it each and every day. Have faith and always keep moving forward. Thanks again, everybody. Have a great week. So until next time, see ya. You've got a friend.